You would turn your Bibles back to Mark chapter 15. We're going to look at something today, talking about the word delivered. And you think about delivered, you think about, I don't know, maybe the Domino's pizza was delivered, right? It was just, they got rid of what they had and they brought it to your place, or they gave it to you. Sometimes the old English was a mother was delivered of their child. Today we say she delivered a baby, right? But the whole idea was delivery was she had something that she was wanting to get rid of. And that, if you ever been in labor and delivery, anybody ever been in labor and delivery? Yeah, when Wendy was, our first child was born at Eisenhower, and we were in the Navy, but we were home on leave, and she went into labor, and so he was born at an Army hospital. And I was young, I was 20 years old, 19 when we got married, and then she has a baby, we're going to have a baby, and no offering of medicine, epidurals, or anything. And so we're here, and we start hearing the horror stories coming down the hall because they just pull the sheet. You don't have a room by yourself, a private room, to have your own misery in. You have a big room with just curtains that are pulled. And I heard every word under the sun that sailors said before Christ and everything else to wives accusing their husbands what they did to them. So if you're not a mother yet, some of you, the Bible tells us very clearly, moms don't, you can't remember specifically the pain. You could say it was bad, but God gives us the blessing. But the mother, the old saying, the old English is the mother was delivered of child. She got rid of that pain that was within her. And so the idea of delivery has all kind of different names. We even have a prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And then there's an ask. And what do we want to be delivered from? Delivered from evil, or the evil one, or the devil. You might say, your translation might say, deliver us, get us out of this presence. So delivery can have a positive or negative connotation to it when we use the word. But so today, the message is simply this on this Good Friday is delivered. We're going to look at as the chief priests, the Pharisees, so the Jews, the Romans, and you'll find yourself, me and you in here, we actually are part of this delivery. Let's read, and we read a good portion of John Mark 15, but let's go back, if you would, to just the first five verses. Mark 15, when you're there, say amen, because this is important to know. "Immediately in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him to Pilate." They delivered him. They wanted to get what they had, and they wanted to get rid of and give to Pilate, right? Because they wanted an expedient crucifixion is what they were after. They wanted him dead because they knew, even the leaders of the Jews knew that Jesus was from God, because Nicodemus tells us in John chapter 3, verse 3, he says, "We know that you're from God from all the miracles that you've done, all the attesting miracles. You've healed the blind, you've made the deaf hear, you've even raised the dead. We know that you're from God." Can you know today that Jesus Christ is from God and still refuse to accept him? How many of you guys have ever heard, I know we our crowd today, how many of you guys have ever heard that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the scriptures? Anybody ever hear that before? Look around. Keep your hands up if you did. So I'm not telling you anything new today. And Jesus wasn't showing or showing anything new to the chief priests and the Pharisees. They knew the truth that the Messiah was to come from all the prophecies. He fulfilled all the prophecies. They knew that because remember when he was just a couple years old, when the wise men came, they said, "Where's he, the king of the Jews?" And Herod's like, I'm the king of the Jews. So he went to his eldership, if you will, the wise men of his day, of his Jewish men, said, "Hey, where's your Messiah supposed to be born?" And they said, "Oh, in Bethlehem." Right? They knew exactly where he was to be born. So they go, and now obviously you know the story of Christmas, but Christmas has a direct tie into Easter, as we celebrate and call those terms, because Christ came to save sinners, his people from their sins. That's what the Bible says. Name him Jesus because he has come to save his people from their sins. By the way, I'm one of his people, just so you know. Me and Jesus are like that. He's my God, he's my Savior, he's my Christ, but he's also my brother. Because he said, I'm a joint heir with him. Whatever is his mine. I own property in heaven. Do you own property in heaven? I own this earth. You say, well, who do you think you are? I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ, according to what he said. I used to take my kids to the ocean. I was like, you see that ocean? That's mine. But it's also yours if you're a Christian, right? If you're a joint heir, it means you got the same, you get the benefits of actually being part with God. Not that you're a God, but God in you and through you. So when you think about delivered, watch what these men did. The chief priests, they had Jesus, and they knew the people loved him, and they were afraid of the people. And so they wanted to take counsel quickly and get him off their books, as it were, and get him before Pilate so that Pilate could get to the execution, to the crucifixion. Well, they take him to Pilate, verse 2. The Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered and said, "It is as you say." And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered what? Nothing. He wouldn't speak to the Jewish men. Then Pilate asked him, "Do you answer nothing? See how many things they testify against you." But Jesus still answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Pilate was set back. Pontius Pilate was a very powerful man, but he was subject to Caesar. He knew that there was every time the Jewish people had an uprising, he'd get in trouble. And so he wanted to distance himself from any trouble that he could possibly be in. If you go to verse 10, you'll see, we'll jump all the way to verse 10 here for sake of time. Pilate knew, for he knew that the chief priests had handed Jesus over because of what? What does your Bible say? Envy. One of the major sins the Bible puts out there that, listen, this is, if you get into a place of severe jealousy of envy, they didn't turn him over because they thought he was a blasphemer. That's what they use as an excuse. They were so full of murderous jealousy that he was going to take their place, because if he truly is the Messiah, there is no need for all these priests today, all the Jewish priests, the chief priests. He's done, because who is the high chief priest, if you will? If he's the Messiah, then he just takes our job. So these men had set themselves up for a career, and they didn't want Jesus to mess up their career path. They didn't want to mess up their retirement. But I asked the students this week, what would knowing God, who God is, and these men had the Torah, the first five books of the Bible memorized, what do you think God would have done with these men should they have given their hearts and lives to the Lord Jesus Christ? He simply would have crossed them over probably to become pastors of the church. They already have the knowledge, now they have the Spirit, so they can actually proclaim and preach the Word of God. Had they been faithful to God, they actually would have probably become the leaders of the early church. But they were so jealous because they loved their standing, they loved their resources, their riches. They wanted it for themselves. Well, let's continue. I want you to see this. I'm going to read a couple more verses. Verses 6 through 15, I won't read those, but you'll see as Pilate's there, he's got a dilemma on his hands. He knows, he says more than one time, "I find no fault in this man. Jesus is not guilty." You ever been found not guilty of something? And then you get tried for it anyway? You ever felt like that? If you drive through low part of South Carolina going to the beach, if you ever go through Estill, I got a ticket one night at 12 o'clock, and I had my cruise control on 25, and the guy said, "You were doing 36 in a 25. I said, "I was not. I had my cruise control, and I said, "You're not writing me a ticket." Young guy, he says, I have to. They tell me I got to write tickets. And I said, "You're not writing me a ticket. I'm not taking a ticket." He said, "Well, I'm going to have to give you a ticket, or you're going to receive it, or you can be arrested." So I was mad. And I took the ticket. I was mad, I'm telling you. I went to the beach mad. I mean, I was going to a pastor's conference, so I went to the conference mad. I came back, tickets due. I drove to Estill again. I didn't mail it in. I drove down there. And I went in, and I took, the not a state ticket, but they gave them for their own community tickets. So I went to the bank and got a, just in case I lost, I got $136 of crispy ones that were banded. And I took the band off. I'm like, "You're going to count every dollar." I was going to do pennies, but I wasn't going to go that far. But I went in there and I'm like, I'm going to just declare that I was doing 25. I know, I even warned my kids, don't drive through these small towns and speed. And I had no reason to speed because I was chilling. I was just relaxing to go in at midnight. So I go in, and the guy who wrote me the ticket was over in the corner. The chief of police had his feet kicked up on the desk beside the judge, and the judge and he were laughing and talking like this. So I walk in, and what would you do if you saw that scenario? The accusing officer is right there. The chief of police has his feet up on the witness stand, and the judge and he are laughing, talking like this. What would be your immediate thought? I'm going to pay the ticket. It was home cooking. Exactly right. It was 100% there. That's why I call it Estill instead of Estill, South Carolina. they steal your money because they took my money. They stole my money falsely. But I knew I had no chance. And when Jesus has been delivered from the chief priest to Pilate, Pilate finds him not guilty. I don't find any guilt in this man. Guess what happens? Pilate's now worried about his own self. Let's go to the notes. I want you to see this, and I want to show you the notes that I put out. And you can get a copy of these online, or I can give you my copy. On this solemn day, one word echoes through the story of the cross. This story today, I want you to hear on Good Friday, is delivered. That's the main thing I want you to see. The religious leaders, they handed Jesus over to Pontius Pilate. Did they have pure motives or not? 100% unpure motives. It was out of envy. And by the way, can there be envy in the church house today? Envy was strife and jealousy within the house of God. He or she gets more attention than I do. They sing well. I don't sing well. Oh, they're a good prayer. They always get called on for this or that. And I wish I was up front sometimes, or I wish I was behind the scenes sometimes. It happens even today, do we not? If we're not careful, we can put religion like these men did ahead of Christ. Don't be delivered. Listen, don't deliver Christ again and again and again to be crucified, because he died once and for all is what the Bible says. Right? This is a Friday. And don't get caught up on Friday. Some of the kids are like, well, Pastor, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I don't see 3 days. Here's what you need to know. The death of Christ is important. But the most important thing is the resurrection of Christ that happened early Sunday morning. So if you want to count back, you say, well, I end up on a good Thursday. Okay, if you say Thursday is when he was crucified, nobody's going to argue with you. Well, somebody will always argue with you, right? Why do you think some people think he was crucified on Wednesday? Some people think he was crucified on Thursday because there was a high Sabbath, which was an additional to Saturday. Some people thought he was crucified on Friday. We call it Good Friday. We celebrate it today. But what I want you to see is, listen, the most important thing of the crucifixion of Christ is that he rose again. God raised him from the dead according to the scriptures on Sunday morning. That's why we worship on Sunday. Well, verses 6 through 15, as I mentioned, Pilate, though unconvinced of Jesus' guilt, he said he's not guilty. He delivered Jesus again. So the chief priest delivered Jesus to Pilate. Pilate delivers Jesus, as it were, for self-approval and for self-preservation over the justice of Christ. That same voice that demanded freedom for Barabbas, y'all remember that? They called for the murderer, cried out for Jesus' death. Give us Barabbas. Crucified Jesus. This is the same people who were healed and fed by the Lord Jesus. Humanity's brokenness is wide open for that. That's me and you standing there. Guess what you would have said if you were there that day? Because we're good Christians, and we would say today, I would have said, don't crucify him. Well, I want you to know, listen, the same people that were yelling, crucify him, the same people that delivered him, the same people, even Pilate and the Romans that delivered him, were in need of deliverance themselves, were they not? They needed to be set free from the sin and all the bounds. Listen, the binding of Satan, they needed to be set free. And the Bible says he actually set them free. At the cross, the chief priest mocked him. He saved others. He cannot save himself. What appeared to be weakness was, in truth, divine purpose. Jesus did not lose his life. He did not get murdered in the sense that he couldn't control it. He gave his life. He said of himself in John 3:16, before he was crucified, for God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten son. He was speaking of himself, that whosoever believes in him, puts faith in him, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the truth from the Lord Jesus Christ himself, from the word of God. And I mentioned the profound irony is that those who delivered Jesus to death were themselves desperate, in desperate need of deliverance themselves. Chief priests, the crowd, Pilate, everyone of them stood in need of the very salvation Jesus was accomplishing. Without the cross and without the resurrection, there is no salvation. Had they believed in the gospel, he would have delivered them from sin, from death, and for eternal separation from God. When you read these stories in the Bible, when we have Christmas and Easter stories, and this coming Sunday at Easter, when the pastor preaches of the resurrection, Easter is Judgment Day, is it not? Christmas is the judgment day, but Easter is the final judgment day. It says, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. And if you don't call on the name of the Lord, you're going to be separated from God in a place called hell for eternity. Is that true from the word of God? Where are all these chief priests who would not believe? Where are they today? Where are they today? We don't like to say it, do we? We like to close our mouth and say, they're in hell. Where are they today, church? If the Bible's true, if Christ is true, and Easter is what God set it up to be, that he would be redemption for those who would believe, then it's actually judgment day for those who won't believe, and they're condemned forever to a place called eternity in hell, separated from God. And I've told our church, and I'll tell you today, if you don't like Jesus here and now, you're not going to like him there and then. And by the way, you won't go there. All the pundits who said, you know, the religion, they get to the pearly gates and they see Jesus. You're not getting to the pearly gates. As a matter of fact, the divide is really deep, and the Lord says there's two judgments. The judgments for unbelievers, these chief priests, they're going to show up to the great white throne judgment. Everyone who will not believe, will not trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, will show up at the great white throne judgment, be called up to give an account one by one, and then be cast into the lake of fire. And Jesus is going to say, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. But those of us, listen, that are Christians, we're going to show up at the judgment seat of Christ. You don't have to pay for your sins at the judgment seat. All you're going to do is give an account for what you did and what you said in this life. There's rewards in heaven. And by the way, if you keep reading, there's a new heaven and a new earth. We're not just going to float on clouds in heaven and play harps. Thank God. Right? I told you I didn't want to become a Christian when I was a kid because I always saw those little fat baby angels floating on clouds. And everybody said, you're going to be an angel one day. And I'm like, ah. All day long singing holy, 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 strumming a little harp floating on a cloud. How miserable for a hyperactive kid could that possibly be? I'd rather go to hell and burn than I would go into heaven and play a harp and sing, because my cute Sunday school teachers, they loved me, but they didn't study the Bible. They told me the wrong story. They showed me picture Bibles of the days of old. They didn't tell me, listen, there's a new heaven and new earth. They didn't tell me that I'm going to work forever and enjoy the work, because I like to work. There was something that God has planned for us. And listen, when I heard, listen, it's going to be like the Garden of Eden. God's going to take us back. He had a perfect place one time. Listen, he's going to do it again, and it's going to last forever. That's the kind of place I like to go. That's the kind of place, if I like waterfalls and things we have here now, guess what being with God forever is going to be like? Isn't that incredible to think about? Two of us think it's incredible. All right. Isn't that incredible to think about being with God forever? And you're never going to figure him out. For eternity, you'll be asking, what about this and what about that? And what we'll be like small children, wondering how great God is. Listen, can I show you? I'm going to jump down to my notes. Joseph of Arimathea, this man, the Bible calls him a secret disciple. Y'all know someone like that? Well, Pastor, I don't want to say anything at work because I'll get fired. Well, Pastor, I'll lose my business. When you face the Lord, what do you think he's going to say? I'm glad you kept your job and didn't tell anybody about Jesus. I'm proud of you. Don't expect to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, if you haven't done well. Or in South Carolina, done good. Right? You have to be about the Father's business, what he calls you to do. And you must investigate and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? I am a young kid. I'm a middle school or high school or wherever I might be. I'm an adult, senior adult. I'm married. I'm busy. What do you want me to do? Listen, daily you should seek the will of God. God, what is your will? And inside that will, he wants you to be obedient. Trust him and obey him is what he calls us to do. Joseph stands up. He was a secret disciple. And then all of a sudden he comes out of the shadows. And he was a prominent man because he was wealthy. He rolls up to Pilate. Imagine going to the Oval Office and asking for something from Donald Trump. Everybody has their opinion of Donald Trump in this room, right? Our president. Or Joe Biden, or Obama, whoever. You have your opinion. And I dare say any of you have met any of those men. You formed your opinion. What Fox News told you to say, what CNN told you to say. You don't have a clue who those people are. You just say what everybody else says because you've never met them. Isn't that true? Anybody ever met the president directly so I know who I'm talking to? Okay, hands down. There's nobody. But do you have an opinion of the president? Well, his policies. Do you know all the policies? Well, he does this, he does that. Have you ever had a top secret briefing on what's going on in the world? I loved when I was in top secret centers. I could find out things, and my lieutenant said, Clint, you need to understand this. You live in two worlds. You live in that world, you know what's going on out there. They don't know what's going on in our world. So what you have to do is you have to adjust your mind to live in this world when you're with us, and you have to live in that world when you're with them. Doesn't that sound like us as Christians? Because the Bible says we're pilgrims passing through. We have been delivered. No longer is Christ turning us over to our sins and self. We have been delivered now that we might be set free for how long? Eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Last thing. This is the good news. We call it the gospel. The very one who was handed over for suffering, death on the cross, now delivers all who place their faith and trust in him, calling them his disciples. The Lord Jesus Christ, he says, I don't call you slaves anymore. I call you what? Friends, children. And today, listen, you can be made new. Getting rid of something wrong, get rid of it. A woman delivers her child in labor and delivery. Well, that's not this negative connotation. The connotation is that it was negative for Jesus being turned over, as it were, to the authorities to be crucified. But that was the plan of God. The very thing that they thought they were getting him on was the very plan that God had pre-established before the foundations of the earth, the scripture tells us. All they were doing was fulfilling the will of God. But when we give our hearts and lives to Jesus Christ today, no matter what our age is, the Bible says we've been set free. We've been delivered from sin and self and death. We've been delivered to something. We've been delivered to eternity with Christ, made new. Paul says you have become a new creation. Listen, today, if you've never given your heart life to Jesus Christ, immediately after the service, I'm going to be over at the cross hanging out for a little bit, just talking around folks. If you have spiritual questions, listen, ask them, text them, email them. We want to be the people that actually answer the questions, because guess what? We know the answers, and the answer is Jesus Christ. We'll take you straight to the cross of Christ. We'll take you straight to the empty tomb and show you that God raised him from the dead. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You must confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was dead. He died for your sins, and that God raised him from the dead. If you confess that, listen, the truth of God is, the truth of his word is, he will save you and he'll deliver you today. So the word of the day is deliverance, right? It's negative connotation, but then turned full circle. You can be delivered if you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for today. So many blessings you poured out on us today. Lord, our food has been prepared for us by a good group of people. And on this Good Friday, Lord, we ask a blessing on the food, but not just on the blessing on the food, but blessing on ourselves. Lord, because when we see this, there's hope in the promise that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and you raised him again on the third day. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a glorious, true word for that today. We love you, and we thank you for deliverance that we have. We've been set free from sin and self and eternity separated from you, and we've been delivered to, Lord, being a son and daughter of the King, if we would just truly believe. Thank you for your love and care for us. Bless our food, bless our time, and our fellowship. In Jesus' name we pray, for his sake. Amen.